So I'd imagine that this is the last session of this week already. It's going very quickly for me at various times. As I was thinking of my way home, it didn't go quickly enough. You can understand that tension that I have been in. I hope that little distraction I had did not convey itself in either speaking or intermingling with you good saints. So it's been a joy to be with you. I'll be taking a flight out from Jacksonville in the morning and return to the frozen tundra with snow still left to shovel. But I'll let one of the grandkids get that probably by April, as it turns out. We have contemplated our condition coming into this world where we were selfish sinners, having inherited a sin nature by acts committing sin and being part of a race that is condemned to die at one moment or another. We have seen the prevenient grace of God, His great working in bringing us to salvation, and because of that, we love Him. As we come to the sanctifying grace in our lives, we understand and love Him for His own sake, not for our sake, but for His sake. And because we will be conformed finally to Jesus Christ, in that future time of perfection, we will be able to look at ourselves and be thankful to God for us, for our own sake. We will love ourselves for God's sake. Are you hearing a ringing? I am as well. Should I do something here? Maybe that's it.
Oh, that's closer, isn't it?
Is that better now? We'll see. So let us contemplate that we are coming to that perfection. As I mentioned earlier, what are we going to do in these years just before coming to that perfection that we will have in Jesus Christ? When we will be conformed? He planned that at the beginning. We are striving for that presently, as Paul has told us in Philippians. I press on, I have not yet attained. I press on, we are pressing on. But will you acknowledge with me that we are coming to the end of the pressing on? Is it okay to assume that? Some will assume that more readily than others. What do we do in these last days? Not the last days of the church, but the last days of me here on earth. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians once again. Because in Philippians we have a wonderful statement that will help us. In verse 4, rejoice in the Lord, of chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In this passage, the Apostle Paul is telling us to do something. He is telling us to pray. And what I would like to outline at the beginning of this message, as we go on to perfection, as the author of Hebrews would say, as we go on to conformity more and more in our lives, what are we to do at our advanced stage of life? One of those things is pray. And one of the things we will understand is what we do in the end is what we have done at the beginning, only more so. The Christian life has never been complicated in that regard. What is our communion life with God? How do we relate to Him? How does He relate to us? It is not complicated. Our communication with God takes these various avenues. We pray We say thank you. We worship. We confess our sins. How does he communicate with us? Through his word. Those elements of the Christian life never change. That is the communion life that we have with God. Prayer, thanksgiving, worship, confession of sins. That is what we verbalize to God. How does he communicate to us? Through his word, or through people who share his word, through the memorized word, but through his word. That makes up the entirety of our communion life. And as we get older, we wonder, how can I walk with God the same way we have always walked with God? Only there are some advantages as we get older. Prayer. I had an opportunity earlier in the week. I'm not sure what day it was. Was it Tuesday or Monday? The prayer time. Tuesday. We met in the back, the men, some of the men in the circle. The ladies met in the lounge. And one of the things I enjoyed was listening to men mostly older than myself, I think probably all older than myself, listening to them pray. It was wonderful. The missionary names we know by heart, their locations, their various struggles and troubles and difficulties through which they're going. The activities and works that were prayed for so seriously. Even the institution that I represent, a mass Bible college, thrilled my soul to hear my godly brothers praying that way. I will return to school and say, you know, there are a lot of saints down in Park of the Palms praying for this institution. It was a wonderful time. I assume that same sort of thing went on in the ladies' prayer meeting. When you have more free time on your hand because of retirement, even because of incapabilities of doing things that are physically oriented, when confinement comes, where getting out to meeting a couple times a day is a real effort, when it is far more comfortable and convenient to be at home, what you can still do is be a prayer warrior, can't you? Is that valuable? You see, this is a mature, godly attitude. Prayer. And prayer is a doctrine of Scripture that has complexities of understanding. Does my prayer change God's plans? Do I know better than he? I have found the Westminster Shorter Catechism definition of prayer a very helpful one. Prayer is bringing the desires of our heart to God. That if they are agreeable to his will, they may be implemented. Confessing that we are sinners, limited in our understanding, and needful of his daily mercies. I like that definition of prayer. It is not that I am dictating to God. I don't know enough to do that. But I do know the desires of my heart. And as I have all the information I can concerning a given issue, Lord, this is the way I would pray, that such and such happen, if it is agreeable to your will. Confessing that I am a sinner and thereby do not understand the beginning from the end. And I need your sure mercies for my daily experience. I think that's a wonderful definition of how we pray. And we come to God acknowledging our needs. The Lord left us a model prayer. And he said, pray this way. Pray for the will of God. I've mentioned this. Pray for our daily needs. Pray for the ability to get along with one another. Pray that we not be led into temptation. We can pray more, and we can pray in more accurate ways, and we can pray wisely, and we can have confidence in prayer, as we have seen him act so many times in answer to our prayers. And hence, one of the legitimate things that occupy our attention as we go on to conformity in Jesus Christ, though our physical limitations be more and more hindering, one of the things we can do more and more in the uttermost degree of confinement is be a prayer warrior for God. And I know that some of you are that even now. I heard that. I heard that. And that is being conformed now in the last stages of conformity on this earth to the image of Jesus Christ. Because when he was on earth, as he came to the end of his life, do you know what he did? He prayed for his disciples, John 17. He prayed for us. And as he goes to Gethsemane, the last thing before the cross is that he prayed three times over in learning obedience through the things which he suffered. In his last days, he prayed. And those prayers are recorded as illustrations for us. In our closing days of conformity to Jesus Christ, we can turn more and more to him in prayer, to our Father in prayer, praying for all those things that years of living have brought to our attention. And that is conformity to Jesus Christ. As we gather together in collective prayer, that's conformity to Jesus Christ. More and more. Do you find your prayer life increasing? I notice that in the lives of folk as they get older. I notice it in my wife's life. I notice it to a lesser extent in my own life. Because it is part of mature spirituality. Let us press on in praying. When we pray, God answers those prayers. The Apostle Paul in this passage in Philippians tells us to say thank you. Don't we teach our children that, our grandchildren, when we receive something? What do you say? Say thank you. And Paul tells us that as well. When we pray, let it be with thanksgiving. Now, this is not prolific into the future thanksgiving. I thank you for the prayer that I'm asking now. It is praying with all the prayers of the past that have been answered by God, with our thank you added. It gives us confidence in prayer. We learn that God does respond to our prayer. So we pray with thanksgiving for this and for this and for this where you've answered, and I am praying this, and I look forward to your answer in that regard as well. When we pray with thanksgiving. And the peace of God, consequently, garrisons our heart and mind before him. So two things we do when we grow up spiritually and when we're in this last push of our lives for spiritual conformity to Jesus Christ. Two of the things that we continue to do, which have always been part of our Christian life, is to pray, ask for help. And when that is given, give thanks. We recognize as well, as we continue in our Christian experience, that we never have total victory over sin. The temptations are still there. We still fail the Lord. And we have in 1 John the instruction when we fail him. If any man sin, we are to confess our sins. And he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, goes on cleansing us from all sins. Yes, we do sin in advanced stages of spiritual maturity. Is that true? It's true. And you and I, as we are aware of these things, more precisely, I think, than younger folk, we are called upon to keep short accounts with God when we fail him, to confess our sins. We are called upon to examine ourselves as we come to worship, confessing our sins. And it is not that he is saying, don't worship. Unless all sins are taken care of, we would probably never worship if perfection were required. But we examine ourselves and are reminded that the blood of Jesus Christ goes on cleansing us from all sins. We need to be that way. It is part of mature spiritual living to keep short accounts with God when we fail Him in succumbing to the old way of life, to the old nature that is still with us. Because we're not perfect yet. And He encourages us to confess our sins. We can still do that. That doesn't stop as long as we have the capability of thinking before God. So, we pray more. We say thank you more. Hopefully we confess our sins less, but when needed. And our final act of personal communion with God is individual worship. Under worship, we would have contemplation, meditation, all of those kinds of things that we do when we come to God and say, I love you because of these things. I worship you for your greatness. Individual worship, not corporate worship, am I thinking about particularly, but individual communion with God in enjoying Him and praising Him, exalting Him in our day-by-day experience. Integrating that into the very details of living that we see round about us. And thanking God for His hand in nature, for the beautiful eclipse last evening. It was wonderful. And that's God in His precise timing. And we see God's timing where they could tell us this is exactly when it's going to happen. And then in a naval operation of the same day, we see God's precise timing in a young petty officer. Did you see that picture in the news? A young petty officer on the ship pressing a button into which they have fed all of God's statistics, right? So that they could pluck that non-functioning satellite out of the sky. Lest it harm someone. And in order to say, Mr. Putin, we can do this. I think both of those things. But that was God's rule. And I saw that. Did you? This is the way I like to integrate worship into the day-by-day experience of life. I saw that in the lunar eclipse. I saw that in operating according to God's scientific timetable. As it, in a 10-second variation could do that. A scientist says, God geometrizes. I like that statement. And we walk according to those very aspects of God. We can enjoy that and worship God when a satellite is blown up for good purposes according to the precision that God put in place at the creation of the universe. Kind of takes your breath away, doesn't it? We can worship that God in nature, in science, because all knowledge is God's knowledge, and in the Word of God. We worship Him because He is the Creator God. We worship Him because He is the Redeemer God. We do both of those. And we do that privately in our communion with God. We can still do that. We can do it to the end. Someone told me of a passing relative who was given a tulip. Who told me that story? It was one of the ladies here, maybe not with us tonight. And this lady, who was just a few minutes from being in God's presence, looked at that tulip and said, "How can you think there is no God?" From a tulip. Do you ever think that way about a tulip? Don't we? My grandfather was a florist. I have a special heart for flowers. Unlike my grandfather, I see God's hand in the flowers and in the universe and in the details of life, in what man, his creature, has invented using the intelligence that God has given to him. And we should be worshiping God day by day. Adam asked, in the days I used to play football, we had a field that was very interesting. Since that day, we have put a gym there, and we have a nice flat field. But this field in the end zone dropped off like this. Imagine how complex it is to be playing football, and as a quarterback, throw to an end who all of a sudden was descending a hill. It made the trigonometry of that far more complicated. Yet in an instant of time, as a quarterback is running this way, throwing that way, accounting for the wind, the speed of the runner, the decline of the hill, so that that ball would be coming down just as he was coming down and hit at the same spot, you have to worship God for a touchdown. You understand? What has gone through a person's mind automatically to be able to do that is a product of a God who needs to be worshipped by his creature. And we do that gladly, and we look behind the surface of life at the hand of God and all that we see and the genius of man given by God to create. And specifically, as we turn to the Word and can come to know him in the detail of his written revelation. And that is the way he talks to us. We talk to him in prayer and thanksgiving and confession of sin and worship. He talks to us through his Word. And I'm suggesting this to you. Age makes all of that better. As long as our mind keeps functioning, I understand that the mind slows down as well. And that we start having senior moments and minutes and hours and days. And some have a special problem in that regard. You heard about that this week. We understand that. And so does God. He does not anticipate that all of us go to that last day of conformity to him, being able to think and pray and worship and confess our sins as accurately as we could in an earlier day. Do any of you suffer from that kind of problem now? We all do somewhere. On one occasion, I was sharing with one of the ladies, on one occasion I was in the hospital with a bacterial blood infection and plus the flu at the same time. That was bad. The flu can make you very sick. A bacterial blood infection can kill you. And when they took me in the ambulance, my signs were all over the place. And we figure it came from the turkey. This was on the 26th of December, and I had done the turkey thing without gloves on and was reaching around inside that thing. And they say that's really not very safe. It took me 2 or 3 years before I could look at turkey in its beak again. But I was really, very sick for a period of time, touch and go. And they brought it all under control by the grace of God. And I talked to one of my friends, spiritually godly older brother. And I said, "You know, Ray, I was kind of disappointed with my thoughts, with my devotion to God. I didn't have any high and holy thoughts as I was coming out of all that. I was disappointed. Didn't pray very well. He said, well, here it is. I have visited with many a person in the hospital. And he said, I learned this in time of struggling and ill health. That's not when you hold on to God. That's when God holds on to you. And he said, a godly lady gave me this instruction. Tell the saints to have their devotion when they're feeling well, because when you're not feeling well, you don't even want to read the Bible. Are there any amens to that? Isn't that the truth? And pious preachers like myself expect you, in time of sickness, to be reading Psalm 119 every night. And I like to pop people that push that kind of pressure on us. You know what I'm saying? When I came out from being unconscious, I saw a crucifix in a Catholic hospital on the wall, and I was glad to see it. That's against the rules, isn't it? No, it's not. He who spared not his own son, shall he not freely give us all things? So don't put a higher standard of spirituality on yourself than God puts on you. When you're not functioning well physically, it's hard to be on the stick spiritually. We're whole beings. And I'm saying that because I say you just keep on doing the same thing, but as we get closer to the end, for some of us, it's impossible to even have our mind think properly. And we should bear no guilt over that. The Lord is merciful. It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. We can continue to do the same things. We can pray more because we don't have those earthly responsibilities quite as much in our old age. We can read the Word more. We can praise God more. And there are all the things we have to do more. Just keep doing what you've always done as a Christian, only with more intensity, as you have the mental strength to do that. There is another thing. The Apostle Paul in this section in Philippians, as he closes, says, thank you for the gift. I'm not going into a great discussion on this, but as we come to the end of our life, we dispose of those things that we have accumulated. To our children, to a place like Park of the Palms, to Christian ministries around the world. And you may well be able to do more of that now than you would have earlier. And that's another way you can worship God. That is honoring to Him. Paul says to the Philippians, thank you for the gifts that you sent once and again. Not that I desire a gift, but that fruit may abound to your account. And we can do that more in our old age. When my father was about to die, he called me over into what I now call the dying quarters at our home. My wife and I are living there now. He said, Dave, you know how much I'm worth? I said, no, Dad, I don't have any idea. My father was kind of old school. He gave and gave and gave as he was alive and did not establish any great amount particularly. He said, you know how much I have? I said, no idea, Dad, how much? He said, $300. And I said, well, between now and when you die, you have to give away your last $300. So why don't you see to that? And he did. When we called the family together, there was no squabbling over an estate because there was no estate. A couple of pots and pans that were not the right color anymore anyhow, so that didn't work either. We can live like that. He gave us that illustration of life. following the advice of the old preacher, I gives while I live, so I knows where it goes. And there's some truth to that. But that's another way we can worship God. And we can do that at the end very often in a way that earthly responsibilities kept us from doing earlier. And I know some of you think about that even now. So we keep on doing the regular things of life, only in an intensified way, as long as we have strength. And then we come to that day where conformity to Jesus Christ is just a breath away. In reality, it always is. But as we come older in life, we know that functionally this will be. And there is that last vision that we need to have in this conformity to Christ. And it is where we started on Sunday, and I'll make reference to this if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to Revelation 21 or to the last page of the references under Oh, We Love Ourselves for God's Sake. And we read this. Do you look forward to this day? I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. They shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And these are wonderful verses, aren't they, folks? And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Do you look forward to that day? Don't we all? He who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, It is done. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes, that is the believer, shall inherit all things. And I will be his God. And finally, he will say, You are my son. He shall be my son. At the beginning, predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are striving for that now saved, for that glorified body, for that conformity to Jesus Christ, and we have not attained, but one day we will attain, and it will be because of the grace of God, and we will come to this setting in our experience when God fulfills his eternal purposes and finally turns to each one of us and says, I am your father, you are my son. Will that be wonderful? Conform finally to the image of our Lord Jesus Christ, bringing joy to him as his inheritance, as he leads many sons into glory. And he will forever dwell with us, and we with him. That plan of conformity to Jesus Christ will be realized. There's a hymn at the back of your packet, the very last thing. It's a hymn that we sing often in our worship services. We don't sing all the verses. When I first put this series together, I went to this hymn and went aside his face and found a couple more verses that encapsulize this message. We have sung the first four verses regularly. The last two are new. They take it new to us. They take it to a deeper depth. The question Darby asks, "And is it so I shall be like thy son? Is this the grace which he for me has won, Father of glory, thought beyond all thought and glory, to his own blessed likeness brought? O Jesus, Lord, who loved me like to thee? Fruit of thy work with thee, to there to see thy glory, Lord, while endless ages roll, myself the prize and travel of their soul. Yet it must be. Thy love had not its rest, were thy redeemed not with thee fully blessed. That love that gives, not as the world but shares, all it possesses, with its love co-heirs. That's our inheritance, nor I alone. Thy loved ones all complete in glory, round thee there with joy shall meet, all like thee. For thy glory like thee, Lord, object supreme of all, by all adored." Two additional verses now. "The heart is satisfied, can ask no more, all thought of self," do you remember the original sin? Selfishness, "all thought of self is now forevermore. Christ, this unmingled object, fills the heart in blessed adoring love, the endless part. Father of mercies, in thy presence bright, all this shall be unfolded in the light. Thy children all, with joy thy counsels know fulfilled, and now patient in hope, while here be thou." Bert is going to come and lead us in singing all of these verses as the summary statement of loving ourselves for God's sake. Bert, will you lead us in this great hymn, please?
The ladies will play it from the hymnal. You'll sing it from here so that we can get all six of these stanzas in. Wow. What a powerful, powerful song. Six twenty-nine.